the Honorable Deputy Minister in our midst. I believe as the Portfolio Committee, we are receiving them with warm hands, believing that there will be a good relationship between us, hoping to move together during this difficult period. This is a portfolio committee which is highly committed to its work, and we believe that our executive will work together with us, will assist each other to change lives of our people, will assist each other to deal with the current situation in our country. Being disrupted by the pandemic. Now, 2-3 weeks ago, we had those unrest and looting in two provinces, but we really appreciate our government, our society, the way they have defended the society. So, the Honorable DM and Honorable Minister, you are warmly welcome to this portfolio committee. We are a portfolio committee who is hard at work, and we believe we'll find that in your hearts, because this department is the pulse of the body. Everyone is expecting us to relieve them, which is not possible to do it in one day, but together we can do it jointly with other departments. So we really appreciate your presence. This is your portfolio committee. You are part of us as parliamentarians. So with these few words, you are warmly welcome. Let me again welcome my colleagues as well as our officials, and also to appreciate the work done by this portfolio committee and its officials and other departments during the oversight visit. The purpose of this today's meeting is to receive a detailed report from our officials about what transpired, about what we witnessed, and also to come up with some recommendations on how best can we intervene during this difficult period. So with these few words, you are warmly welcome. The meeting is officially opened. We'll now zoom to item 2, which is roll call and adoption. Roll call and apologies. I will invite our official King to tender an apology if there is any. Over to you, Rakim.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, honorable GM, Mr. Dlamini. Chairperson, in the platform, I have recognized Honorable Jacobs, Honorable Mieni, Honorable Mathulelwa, Honorable Tromelang, Honorable April, Honorable De Villiers, Honorable Hendricks, and Honorable Kruger. If I miss somebody, you can indicate. And then the apologies that we have, we've got an apology of the minister, our new minister, who has indicated that she is attending the cabinet meeting. And then we are also having an apology from Mr. Mtenjane, who is bereaved. He indicated that he has lost his sister, and then he's busy making the arrangement for the funeral. Also, we've got an apology of Mr. Zungula, who is attending another meeting. So those are the apologies that we have received, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Apologies noted. Our condolences to Mtenjana family on their loss. May God or grace comfort the entire family during this difficult period. We will now move to the third item, which is adoption of the agenda. Can I have a mover from honorable members? You will assist me, King, because I can't see their hands. Anyone for the adoption of the agenda, honorable members?
Good morning, Chairperson. I'm Honorable April. I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you. Any seconder?
Chair to Honorable Faiz Jacobs, I second the motion.
Thank you. The agenda is duly adopted. We'll now move to the next item, which is consideration and adoption of the third term committee program. Over to you, King.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I see the hand of Honorable Hendricks. I don't know, maybe he wants to say something before I continue.
Okay, Honorable Hendricks, do you have anything to say?
No, I just wanted to help you to propose or second, so I've lowered my hand. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank proceed, you. King.
Thank you, Chairperson. Without waste of time, Chair. I flighted the draft program for the portfolio committee for the third term or third quarter, which started on the 17th, which is yesterday, which will run up until the 1st of October. This has been developed in consultation with the officials and the chairperson, and then whoever would like to raise that this has been amended before in comparing with the previous one, since parliamentary program has changed. So, Chair, today is the 18th, where we are considering this program, and we're also considering the committee meetings, and then we'll be considering also the draft report of KZN and Gauteng fact-finding oversight. The next meeting will be on the 25th of August, where we have wanted to invite the department to come and respond and come and inform the committee on their response on the unrest that took place in KZN and Gauteng since the committee has gone for fact finding. Then it will also go to on the 1st of September, whereby we had a standing application from these two entities, which is NASA and the Direct Selling Association of South Africa. They have written to the committee since January, requesting for a slot to come and appraise the committee on their different functions. So now we've scheduled them for the 1st of September. Then on the 8th of September, Chair, we'll be getting a briefing on the small the department on their 2021-2022 quarter one performance. As we know that the quarter one started in April, May and June. So now we'll be getting their report on their first quarter performance. Then we'd hope, since we didn't get any directive from the Office of the House Chairperson, we have been maintaining that as per previous directive or the focus areas, we were expected to do the budget report and review PRRR by the end of September. Hence, we've scheduled the Auditor General and the agency on the 15th of September, which might change if we get any directive from the Office of the House Chairperson. So we've invited the Auditor General for the department and CEDA. As we know that Auditor General audits the department and also audits the CEDA. And then we've also going to invite the CISA, Faluba and Kopodo auditors who are responsible for auditing CIFA, Small Enterprise Finance Agency. And then on the 22nd of September, we'll get a briefing on the annual performance of the department and the agencies on their 2021 performance. And then on the 29th of September, we'll be considering and adopting a 2021 budget review and recommendation report. Then from that time, it will be the last meeting, and from the 4th of October till the 1st of November, it will be again the constraint period. So Chairperson, you are tabling this program to the committee for adoption, and bear in mind that maybe it might also have some changes should there be any directive from the Office of the Health Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, you have muted yourself.
I'm thinking, I'm battling with my screen here, my gadget. I can't see the report. I don't know what's wrong with it. I can't see what the screen, the sharing, which you are flitting on the screen. I don't know what's wrong with my gadget. So I will request that maybe I switch it off and start again. Otherwise, okay. I won't be able to proceed with the meeting.
Okay.
Okay, just allow me to do that.
Okay. Honorable Member, let's have a 2 minutes break while we are trying to log in the Chairperson.
Yeah, thank you. I can now see the document on the screen. Sorry for that. Honorable members, here is the program before us. Can I have comments so that we can be able to adopt the program? Let us show by raise of hands. King will assist me.
Honorable Jacobs has raised the hand, Chair.
Honorable Jacobs, can we hear from you, please?
Okay, and greetings to everybody. I think the program and the program for this rest of the quarter is very detailed. I will call for the adoption of this program. Yes.
Thank you, Honorable Jacobs, any seconder?
Chairperson, Honorable April, let's raise the hand also.
Honorable April?
I'm the seconder, Chair. Thank you very much. I agree with the proposal.
Thank you. Can we now move to the next item? Program has been adopted. Let's move to the next item, King.
Thank you, Chair. The next item is going to be the according to the agenda, it will be the tabling consideration and adoption of the KZN and Gauteng fact finding oversight visit report, Chair.
Thank you. I'm now inviting Sbu to present the report before the portfolio committee.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good from Parliament and from the department. Chair, I presume members have gone through the report, and I'm hoping that we can make the session an interactive one. Prakin, have you given me rights to host?
Yes, I host.
Okay. Is the document visible?
To me, it's visible. I don't know, to members.
Chair, honorable members, can you see? You can see
the document. It is visible from my side. I don't know other members.
Wonderful. Chair and honorable members, I'm going to go through this 27-page document, which we have compiled at the Secretariat following a fact-finding visit to the provinces of KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, that four-day visit we undertook last week. Chair, in total, the document has 27 pages. I'll propose, Chairperson, that as the norm, we glance over the document, highlighting key topics. Then we go through observations and recommendations one by one. In terms of the outline of the document, Chair, on page one, we have an introduction. From page one to page two. Page one, Chairperson, is an introduction. Then page two, it provides a background that gave rise to the visit to these two provinces. On 2.1, for instance, we touched on the economic and social aftermath of the unrest. On 2.2, we look at the relief package that was announced by the president just to ameliorate the conditions that were presented by the unrest. On page four, we look at the objectives of the fact-finding visit. On page five to seven, it's the composition of the delegation. Here, honorable members, we included members of the select committee, as well as trade and industry, portfolio committee on trade and industry, parliamentary staff, and the stakeholders that we interacted with during our finding visit. On page seven, it begins with the discussion fact-finding visit in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, background on things like drought district municipality. We are saying here, honorable members, that our visit was localized at Mhlathunze local municipality due to the strategic importance of the region. The delegation was received at King George District Municipality by respective mayors, councillors Lindo Kuhle Phumula and Mduduzi Mhlongo. Then, during this part of the visit, committees were taken through a detailed presentation by District Mayor Phumula. Then, we then visited affected sites. We started in Zeleni Township, where members observed the destruction in one of the malls that is owned by a black-owned women, and some of the small business concerns that are operating within the mall, who have been affected by this particular unrest. One of which was the owner of Slay Queen, Miss Boni Marwa, who her property was damaged, and some of it it was stolen. outside the mall, members saw a few informal traders. Clearly, it was visible to all and sundry that the traffic volume had died due to the mall being shut. And well as Zana, we met with almost the same scenes. Some of the shops there were looted, Engine Garage, OK Grocery, Supermarket, Debonairs. Then the last trip of that particular segment was to Esikaleni Mall, where again the mall was vandalized, looted, and it was satellite. Here again, honorable members, there was a concern raised by the mall manager that the mall is insured. But the problem again, it's the small business owners or small business concerns that were operating in the mall who may not necessarily be covered by SASRIA. And also a great concern here, similar to what we observed in Zelen, was that the mall had been satellite, which might put some of the fundamental structures in jeopardy. The assessments between these two malls, Selene and Sakawini, are ongoing. Then from there, we went to Ilembe, where the focus was on the CBD and Shaka's Kraal. At Ilembe, the delegation was received by the respective mayors of the district and local, Councillor Studuzo Kumede and Councillor Doli Govender. Again, there was a detailed presentation done by the acting chairperson of Ilembe Enterprise, which is the development agency of Ilembe District Municipality. The delegation then went to do site visits in the CBD. Then from there, we traveled towards south, back to Durban, where we went past Shaka's Kraal. We also saw the level of destruction there, where, for instance, one of Checkers was looted, vandalized, and it was banned completely. The ATMs were also looted and some satellite. Then that was the end of day one, honorable members. Then on second day, the delegation visited Durban at Ethekwini Metro. The discussion begins by giving the overview of the Durban Metro, the location, the N2, N3 key highways that traverses or that connects the city with other major trading centers in the south and in the north and in the west, the importance of these two nodes in relation to the unrest. The port of Durban, which was completely shut down during the unrest period. Then estimation by what, this is the preliminary estimations, honorable members, done by the Economic Development and Planning Committee. It's a division within the city of Ethekwini. They are putting their estimates there. For instance, they are estimating that 1.5 billion rand loss of stock, 15 billion rand of damage to property and equipment, 50,000 informal traders affected, 40,000 businesses affected, 150,000 jobs at risk, 1.5 billion at home with no income due to this unrest, while the total impact to the city in that specific 5 days is estimated. Then in Durban, honorable members, we visited Isipingo. Where we saw the level of destruction again. The storage facility, it's an initiative by the city of Ethekwini to provide informal traders a safe space to keep their stock and to keep some of their important documents like your IDs. As honorable members, you saw for yourself that some use these facilities to even keep their earnings, their daily earnings. We saw cash that was burnt and some of the documents that were destroyed by fire. On this leg, honorable members, we are making a note here that it seems a similar incident or a similar a pattern of what we saw in Ilembe and KCDM. All the sites that were visited by the committees, it seems SIDA and SIFA have not been there, based on our interaction with informal traders on the ground. So in all the scenes that were visited by the committee, it would seem the committee was the first one on the scene. Similar situation in Gwamashu. We visited the Emahawini SMME hub, business hub. We visited the two garages that were burned, one in the BP garage and one Shell garage. Shell garage was set alight. The owner of BP garage, for instance, is the owner of a number of filling stations that were also looted. He's also the owner of some of the shops that are based in Dube Village, Enanda, which were also ransacked. He visited Inyala Center, where we met with Mr. Sianda Kamanga of Kamanga Pharmacy, whom his pharmacy was bugged. Then en route to the airport, we went past Spa Express, at Shell Gwamashu, to also observe the level of destruction there. Then that was the end of our visit in KZN. We then went to Joburg on the third day, where we visited Ekurhuleni. Delegation converged at Ekurhuleni, Kempton Park Civic Center, where we were received by member of Mayoral Council, Nkosinkile Mthakaza, and Metro Council staff. The DG was also present in this leg of the visit. The Gauteng Economic Development staff were also in attendance. Leaders of the delegation, co-chairpersons, gave a brief background regarding the behind the visit of the committees. MMC Mthakaza highlighted the areas that the portfolio committee would visit, which included Tembisa, Davidson, and Katoras. The first visit, honorable members, was to Cambridge Center or Sangweni Taxi Rank, or Tembisa Plaza, and end Tembisa Plaza. The first stop off was at Cambridge at Sangweni, where the mall was still not operational. There were few informal traders outside who clearly had also been affected by the mall traffic, the disappearance of the mall traffic. From there, we went to Tembisa Mall. Same thing we experienced at Tembisa Mall. Tembisa Mall was not part of the program, but MMC thought it was prudent for the committees to went via them. Then from there, we traveled to Mayfield Square and Davidson Square in Benoni. In Mayfield Square, the mall was still not operational. Outside the mall, where there were few informal traders whom the portfolio committee interacted with. We learned quite a few things. There were also a center management there that gave a brief briefing to the members. From Mayfield Square, we went to Davidson Square, where we also interacted with a number of informal traders there. Then from Davidson, we traveled to Katlehong at Sondonga Mall, where we also interacted with a number of informal traders. The mall, again, was still not operational. The informal traders were also struggling with the sudden abrupt or the disappearance of the foot traffic. Then that was the end of the first day of the portfolio committee visit. Then on the last day, we visited the city of Joburg, which is based in Bramfontein. There we were received by Councillor Tefo Rapat and team from the city of Joburg. Then Councillor Rapat gave a brief presentation regarding the extent of damage within and around the city of Gauteng. From Bramfontein, we traveled via Jules Street in Malvern, which is where the cars were torched at used car dealers. According to the city's officials, Jules Street was the point of origin of the unrest that went on to engulf major parts of Gauteng. It's probably because it's nearest to the GP hostel. Then from Jules Street, we traveled to Alexandra, which is about 15 kilometers away from Joburg CBD, where we also interacted with a number of informal traders here, honorable members. Number of issues were raised, policy issues in my view, which relates to the issuing of licenses, permits, relating to the trading of immigrants. We also visited the mall, where we discovered that while the trend or the pattern of arson was not that prevalent in Gauteng, but in Alex, the mall was a major part of the malls. Major part of the mall had been burned. There were also deaths reported from Alexandra. We traveled to Jablani Mall in Naledi in Soweto, where we were received by Dr. Mike Nguna. Dr. Mike Nguna is the executive chairman and chief executive of Masingida Group. The group owns quite a number of malls in Limpopo. They also own a mall in Protea Glen in Soweto. He then gave a highlight or high-level presentation regarding the extent of damage within the mall. And further, sort of challenged the city of Joburg with regards to informal traders who are actually plying their trade outside the mall in Protea Glen, Jablani, Soweto, to say the trading conditions upon which these informal traders are applying their trade is not conducive. He's looking forward to various initiatives like the PPP to build maybe trading stores for hawkers and informal traders. From Jablani Mall, we then proceeded to Cape Town in Soweto, where we saw, for instance, one of the there is a youth safe there which was also looted. Quite a number of shops were looted. There is one shop or a franchise called Quad Man, owned by Lakile Khwati, which was also looted. In the nearby Cape Town, there is a driver's learner testing center. All computers were looted there. And the shops, generally the shops in Cape Town remained closed. Then the last visit for the day in Gauteng was to the south of Joburg, which is Everton, Palm Springs Mall, and then AA to Orange Farm Mall in Orange Farm. Again, the shops here remained closed. There was a level of looting, vandalism, and the destruction of property, but fortunately, there were no incidents of arson reported in these two malls. And that is likely to make the recovery process quite faster. Then concluding remarks were offered by Honorable Mandla Khai, who thanked all members of Parliament and Parliament staff for working zealously and cooperatively with all visited municipalities towards developing towards facilitating the program. He thanked Councillor Rapadu, who was there and his team at the time, and also gave a high-level presentation of the processes that would be followed from then on in as far as the Parliament is concerned, which is the compilation of the report, the consideration of the report, the approval of the report, the debate in the National Assembly, which is likely to take place on the 24th of August. Brakin, I stand to be corrected there. Then, honorable members, as I've indicated earlier, most of the small business concerns that we interacted with during our site visits had no SARS RIA cover. And it was very important for the members to understand what SARS RIA cover under what conditions the profile of their products and services. So we invited them to come and present the committees on the 12th of August. The presentation was done by the Chief Executive Officer or Managing Director, Mr. Cedric Masondo, who was accompanied by the Director General. The minutes of this meeting will be approved today during this session before approving. But a number of issues were raised by the MD. There were concerns from members of the portfolio of the committees relating to the liquidity of the agency, which Mr. Masondo addressed. We also learned, honorable members, that there is already a 3.9 billion rand that has been ring-fenced by National Treasury to ensure that the agency does not run into liquidity problems. We also learned that so far incidents that have been reported, not claims, but incidents that have been reported at to the tune of 12 billion rand, while the closing date was approaching. The estimations then were that claims, the actual claims are not likely to exceed 15 to 20 billion rand. So it means SASRA will be able to honor their obligations. We were also told, honorable members, that SASRA has taken a decision that all claims below 1 million will be settled instantly without SASRA approval. To speed up the turnaround time, SASRA was also looking at expanding this threshold from 1 million to 5 million rands to ensure that those who are submitting their claims are assisted without delay. Then, honorable members, we are coming to the committee observations, which are 10 in total. I will go through these committee observations one by one, then we'll discuss at the end of this session. On 7.1, it was evident that based on the magnitude of damage to property and business disruption, that economic and financial cost of the unrest will run into billions of rands. The committees welcome the government's economic relief support to offset adverse impacts of the... They note that a large portion of the financial aid will be by way of insurance claims through SASRA, which is approximately 20 billion rands. Small businesses not covered by SASRA will be allocated 2.3 billion, which when juxtaposed to the level of destruction and number of displaced small business concerns, may fall short to kickstarting the economy that has suffered double whammy of the pandemic and civil unrest. The allocation will be sourced via reprioritization and reallocation of existing baseline. Honorable members, this basically means that there is no new money that will be allocated to kickstart the business activity. All what will happen is funds will be reprioritized from the existing budget. Committees also note and welcomed the DTIC relief package of 4 billion rands. That package, honorable members, is divided into 2 billion rands from DTIC, which is also a reprioritization from the existing budget. 1.5 billion will come from IDC, and 250 million rands will come from National Empowerment Fund. With 100 million matching grant facility to support affected small and informal businesses in townships, rural areas, and small towns impacted by the unrest. The committees note that the department, through its agencies, has initiated the process to consider application with closing date being set for 20 August. Honorable members, that is 2 days away from today. But what was detected throughout the site visits, CIFA and CEDA were not present on the ground. Parliament committees would coincidentally be first on the scene. The agencies are barely known and their products and services are almost not known nor accessible, especially by informal traders. On interrogating the business recovery support application form, members have reservations that it is not only strenuous and complex, but some of the information or documentation required may not be attainable within a short space of time, considering that the country is still under level 3 lockdown, and therefore many employees still work remotely. Some of these employees, honorable members, are referred to here are SARS agents who are working from home. And obtaining a tax clearance certificate at SARS currently, it's like pulling out the teeth. Then 7.4, when the committees hit the ground in Durban, for instance, neither CIFA nor SIDA had initiated any effort to assist the victims of looting. And some of the traders' properties and documents, as witnessed at TCPMO, had been burned almost beyond recognition. Owing to the nature of their trade, most informal traders are most likely to miss the deadline unless extraordinary measures are taken, the deadline being the 20th of August. 7.5, one of the noticeable trends observed by committees were incidents of arson that were much more prevalent in the province of KwaZulu-Natal than Gauteng. Consequently, recovery period in KwaZulu-Natal is likely to take longer than Gauteng. From the committee's point of view, this may necessitate a different but not a blanket approach in terms of application deadlines and various other interventions that may be instituted by the department and government. 7.6, Parliament's committee engaged extensively with informal traders and learned of antithetic yet interdependent relationship between traders and malls. In all the sites visited, committees observed that informal traders use services. These are services offered by the mall, infrastructure offered by the mall, such as water, shelter, sanitation, and sometimes storage facilities provided by the malls. Moreover, street traders benefit from the food traffic generated by the malls. While on one hand, there is a general perception that retail nodes destroy and hinder business opportunities for informal traders in a complementary way and contradictory ways. Some supermarkets are accused of consciously displacing informal traders through direct competition. We made an example of a ShopRite Hungry Lion. We would buy quota from Uma Dlamini, but now we are buying quota at Hungry Lion. In other areas, shopping malls are suspected of deliberately alienating informal traders from participating in the retail opportunity, with the traders having to occupy sites on the periphery of these developments in conditions that are not ideal for conducting business. Thus, the sentiment of ownership of the mall by informal traders, or a feeling of being part of the shopping mall ecosystem, is either limited or does not exist. It's one of the reasons, honorable members, why some of these malls were looted and there was no protection from the community members or informal traders themselves, because some of these informal traders, they don't feel being part of these establishments. Meaning going forward, one should speak to this particular issue as well. On 7.8, in terms of the trading spaces that traders occupy, for instance, we saw that in Mayfield Square in Davidton, committees learned that informal traders are considered illegal since the spaces have not been set aside for trade by Ekurhuleni municipality. The area that we visited in Mayfield Square is specifically owned by the city of Ekurhuleni. These spaces have no cover or shelters, no ablution facilities, no sanitation facilities, no storage, no refuse removal by the municipalities, no lights, which ideally would enable informal traders to trade until late. The trading commodities such as fruits, vegetables, and clothes are negatively affected by unpleasant environmental conditions, resulting in loss of earnings to the traders. That's exactly what we witnessed in Mayfield Square and in various other places that committees visited. Furthermore, informal traders are subject to many challenges which can be addressed through collective efforts from a variety of sectors, such as the government and formal businesses. In Soweto, Dr. Nguna challenged the city of Joburg to consider a triple P to erect stalls outside Jabulani Mall. In conclusion, honorable members, street vendors and informal traders have been noted to be perhaps the most regulated and the least protected, who trade unlawfully due to a lack of recognition and licenses. The committee's head of challenges facing traders outside Pan Africa Mall, including serious allegations that foreigners are also permit holders, yet it takes in excess of 12 months for South Africans to obtain trading permits. In most cases, vendors are not issued with any identification showing that they have a legitimate right to sell their goods in urban streets, which further exposes them to harassment, including the confiscation of goods, assault and demands for bribes, as members of parliament had in Alexandra and other sites visited in Durban, Daveyton and Katlehong. Honorable members, based on the observations of the committees, they accordingly make the following recommendations to the Minister of Small Business Development as they relate to the small businesses and informal sector portfolio. The Department of Small Business Development, through its entities, SIDA and SIFA, or NewCo, New Company, should embark on collaborative efforts with SASRIA to intensify financial literacy campaigns targeting small businesses and informal traders. Such programs must find expression in the annual performance plan of the departments and entities. SASRIA is also encouraged to expand its outreach program, educate small businesses about its products and services, and introduce technology where small businesses can access cover direct from the agency. Based on the evidence or information committees gathered on the ground, magnitude of disruption to property, scope of business disruption, and number of displaced informal traders, the allocation of 2.3 billion rand is welcomed, but not adequate. Committees must consider to convene an urgent meeting with the Department of Small Business Development in order to go through a host of issues, one of which is the scope of leveraging additional finance to scale up recovery efforts, closing dates for applications, which is 2 days away, exhaustive application form, excessive documents required, which add significant cost to applicants. We're making an example of how the economic development application form for informal traders, which differs drastically from the one from the DSPD ones. Also to explain conditionalities in respect of registrations with CIPC and SARS, it seems there is also a requirement that informal trader must be registered with CIPC in order to access services of the department. Reciprocal and collective efforts with other state departments, provincial, local, as well as other state-owned companies to avoid duplicity, wastage, and double dipping. You observed, honorable members, that in most of the sites that we visited, municipalities will do it alone. The spirit of development model is definitely not there. The department should concretize and meet measures to improve relationships between the shopping centers, the supermarkets who are tenants within the shopping centers, and informal traders. Large-scale supermarkets have sought to make inroads into the township economy to capture a share of the food market. By food market, honorable members, it's just an example, really. There could be more of other areas where supermarkets are competing directly with informal traders. Share of the food market, which historically served by micro-enterprises and informal street traders. The district development model provides a useful framework for such relationship to be forged, while the use of triple P's may also be considered. Shopping malls must be seen to be adding value to the communities in which they operate, not just in terms of employment. You learn, honorable members, that the emphasis has been on shopping malls provided employment for the locals, but people seem to ignore the aspect of the access to market and the reduced market competition. For instance, most of the goods we learned as Kawin, for instance, that most of the goods supplied by Shoprite that can easily be sourced locally, some are sourced at the Durban Fresh Produce Market. It's also a source of conflict. The department must give a serious consideration to the reinstatement of the shared economic infrastructure facility. This is one incentive, honorable members, that the department used to have not so many years ago. We found this incentive during the fifth parliament to be very effective. We even visited Limpopo, a Chakuma mall, where Chakuma is one of the beneficiaries of this particular incentive. So we are saying here, it may address a number of infrastructure-related complaints by informal traders, such as providing ablution facilities, restroom, storage facilities, etc. 8.5, another common theme that echoed throughout committee's visit relates to filthiness of the trading premises. Illegal traders who intrude trading space without paying a rent nor having a license. Working with the metro and district municipalities, the department should scale up endeavors to lead the deployment of cleaners through EPWP program to assist in cleaning the area as well as toilets. The expanded public works program is one of the government's key program aiding providing poverty and income relief through temporary work for the unemployed. Then as I end, honorable members, the last one is with regards to the registration and licensing of businesses, which is a matter that has confronted this portfolio committee since inception. Two parliaments ad hoc committee that were investigating xenophobic attacks both in 2008 and 2015, concluded, amongst others, that regulation of small businesses in the country, for instance, the issuing of trading permits and business licenses to foreigners, is one major source of conflict and therefore needs police response. In Alexandra, for instance, this grievance was emphasized. Permits and licenses are still being issued to immigrants on sectors that by now ought to have been reserved for South Africans. This is a general practice across the globe, including in Africa as well. The department must accelerate the process of reviewing the Business Act or table a new bill before the end of the current financial year, as pledged by the department in its APP 2021-2022. Honorable members, we are due to receive this particular document before the end of the current financial year. Chairperson, let me end there in the interest of time. Let me hand it over back to you, Honorable Chairperson O'King, if there's anything you may want to add by any chance.
King, do you have anything to add?
No, Chairperson, you have done it all.
Okay, thank you. Honorable members, here we are. Here's the report with its observation as well as its recommendation. I would like honorable members to make some inputs if ever you feel that there are certain things which are not captured well or under recommendations, you need to add something. I will allow you to do that at this stage. Let us show by raise of hands.
Chairperson.
King, you'll assist me. Yes.
Mr. Hendricks, followed by Mr. Givilias. They have raised their hands.
Okay. Honorable Hendricks, over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, for me, one of the most important aspects of the two-day visit is the comfort that our chair of the portfolio committee gave wherever she went, and that is, in my view, true leadership. The municipal managers were first on the scene, and they must be congratulated, we came second, missing even during our visit to different municipalities was many mayors, and that's an insult to the committee. The mayor should have dropped everything and made sure that they were present, and that is very disappointing of our mayors. Also missing in many respects was Sida and Shiva, and they must be wrapped over the knuckles. They should have been first before the municipality managers on the scene, and they should have been present to the hotspots that we, the portfolio committee, visited. The issue of permits is very important, and Al-Jamaa and myself, we would like to call for a moratorium on evicting and harassing and confiscating of stock until this matter is sorted out. Our president has given leadership by saying you don't have to pay for permits. And we've heard that permits are easily given to foreigners because they bribe, and that South Africans must wait up to 12 months for a permit. This cannot be. This is unacceptable, Honorable Chair. Then I want to talk about Sasria, and I feel that while the horse has bolted and the claims are being processed, and while we thank Sasria for even for having made arrangements that insurance companies, without referring to them, pay out up to 1 million rand, and while many malls are now being repaired, I think Sasria must be complimented. However, we expect and we all keep our fingers crossed that there won't be a second occurrence of what has happened. But in preparation for another occurrence, I feel that we must ask Parliament for a legal opinion, because in my view, irrespective of the response of Treasury and Sasria when we met with them, that the damage should have been paid by insurance companies and not Sasria. So now Sasria, you know, the funds are depleted. We already know that when Sasria did the presentation, that if, and that I think the chair raised the eyebrows, if this unrest was in all 9 provinces, then we would have been dead. And talking about debt, you know, the president spoke about that it was a ethnic conflict. He later on withdrew it after a lot of pressure. We know it was an ethnic issue, that one ethnic group was largely involved in this. So we need to find some way very diplomatically and very sensibly to speak to the leadership of this ethnic group, that it cannot be that one ethnic group in South Africa puts the nation at risk. Then the image of Sida is not very good, but we have seen signs in our portfolio committee that Sida is rising to the occasion. But when I spoke to at least a dozen people on the ground, the first complaint I had about Sida, we need our minister to make a very strong statement that Sida is on the way upwards, that people should not be negative of Sida. And the problem with Sida is, you know, they go slows. You know, there's too many sub-agents in Sida. There's too many kickbacks. You know, the minister needs to give the country the assurance. And while speaking by the minister, let me welcome the deputy minister. And we hope that we can work with her. The previous deputy minister, we hope that she will carry out some of the good work that the previous deputy minister has done. And in the case of our parliamentary constituency office in Mitchell's Plain, there were at least 7 undertakings of the deputy minister, and I hope the new deputy minister will find out what these undertakings are and take it forward. But carrying on, honourable chair, this having the pavement dwellers and micro businesses to be CIPC registered. We need to look at that. You know, a gorga that sells on the pavements or in the parking lots or shopping malls, don't ask them to go and do all their documentation and stuff. They want to put food on the table because South Africans' maintenance laws for women and children leave much to desire, so they have to get an extra income. Now you come with CIPC, you come with permits, you come with all of those issues, and that is really a problem. I'm very happy that the content expert in the recommendations has asked that the small business department extend the closing date. In conclusion, Honorable Chair, it is our view that, you know, we need to have a plan until the end of the sixth parliament and not a plan just to deal with the harmful effects of the unrest. So we need to have, while we are still members of the sixth parliament, we don't know whether we're going to be members after that. But I feel that at least there must be an active plan to assist small businesses, create jobs to reach the target of 9 million, and also create next generation jobs and new revenue streams. With regard to the 2,000 Rand grant, I see some municipalities pay a little bit more, and that is welcome. We need to do something to give these gogas their 2,000 Rand. You know, why must we? I know there's a lot of corruption. People take chances. Our gogas are our elders. They don't take chances. They are honest. And we shouldn't put the stringent conditions that we put because other people exploit the situation. And that's why there's so many checks and balances, you know, that the red tape in small business development, red tapes that we ever have. I hope, Honorable Chair, that other members will also come with their ideas, and I look forward to hearing from them. Thank you,
Honorable Hendricks. The next speaker is Honorable de Villiers. The stage is yours.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you very much for that, the presentation and the preparation of the report. I think most of the report is very accurate and reflects what we saw and what we experienced as a committee there. However, I would like to add something which I think needs to be noted when it comes to the SASRIA presentation, which was done to us. Although our draft report correctly says that SASRIA estimates the damages between 15 billion and 20 billion, the claims to SASRIA, and I just rechecked it to make sure that I'm right. It goes further to say, the SASRIA report which we saw, that the estimated total property cost because of the looting is 50 billion, 50. And this is very concerning for me, and I think it's something which really needs to be noted, because if SASRIA is saying that they estimate 15 billion, 15, that means there's 35 billion rands of property lost, businesses lost, which will not even be claimed, which is just disappearing from the economy, which to me is a massive, massive loss and a very big red flag. And something which must at least be noted in the report. So I think it's worth adding that to our report. I agree that the 2.3 billion rand which is planned to probably not enough. We know it's not enough in terms of the damage caused. But my problem is something else. You know, as we saw with the COVID relief fund that was supposed to be administered by the Department of Small Business Development via CEDA and CIFA, they did not even come close to spending the money which they were given to assist COVID. Now, Honorable Hendricks referred to this, but in reality, and I think it's something we all know, all the complaints we saw and the reality on the ground is that they make it so difficult with so much red tape for these small business owners to actually qualify for the COVID funding, which clearly wasn't what the money wasn't spent. It was given by government, but small CIFA and CIRA couldn't spend it. And I'm very afraid that this is now going to happen again with this 2.3 billion, billion rand. And I would like to see a recommendation now that CIDA and CIFA must urgently come with a plan on how they want to execute on spending this 2.3 billion rand. We need to know that this money is going to actually be dished out, that it is going to be given to businesses for help, because we can all agree that there's an urgent need for not just 2.3 billion, but probably for more money. So I'm very, very worried that CIDA and CIFA will once again not be able to actually spend the money because they will come up with, as Honorable Hendricks has pointed out, so much red tape and the rules and regulations that they will make it impossible for informal traders and people who don't work in complex and complicated business systems to qualify for the help they need. And then something which I think we can all agree on as well. One of the things which is not in the report, but I think is worth noting, is that so many of the entrepreneurs, whether it was the garage, the petrol station owners, or the hair salon owners, or the informal traders, so many of these small business owners and employees feel utterly betrayed by the fact that they were not protected when the looting started, that the South African Police Service and the Metro Police Services of the region, both national and local government, just weren't able to handle the situation and give them the protection which they needed. Now, I'll be the first one to say what we saw was unprecedented and that it was a absolute first in terms of the scale and the damage and the destruction. But that does not mean that it's not going to happen again. And I think it is important for us as a committee to note that what these entrepreneurs need in future, these small business owners and everybody who works for them, is the assurance that law enforcement, as well as national government in the form of the South African Police Service, will prepare for this eventuality in all cities, in all provinces across South Africa, and actually not be caught unaware again, because this can and most probably will happen again in some or other form. We can't live in a society where people cannot be protected, where businesses cannot be protected by the law. So I would like us to note in our report that small businesses need the South African Police Service and local law enforcement to come up with contingency plans if anything like this happens again. And then lastly, to add to that, all the business owners which we spoke to with tears in their eyes said, where is the justice? What will happen to the people that looted these shops, and what will happen to the people who incited this violence? And I think it's important for us as a committee to note in our report that the victims of this looting, which are, as you saw in the report, hundreds of thousands, millions of lives, because it's not just business owners, it's employees and their families and everybody. They want justice. They want to see that the people who incited this violence, who is ultimately the architects of the anarchy which we saw, that those people are put in jail, that they go to court, that they are found guilty, and that they are put in jail. Because that will give small business owners and small businesses the confidence that people cannot get away with robbing, with burning down their businesses, with destroying the livelihoods of their staff and the people who work there. So I think it is vitally important for us to note in our report that what small business owners want is they want justice. They want to see the rule of law. They want that the police do their job, and that both the people who were the architects of what happened, the people who actually incited the violence via social media, as well as the people who were the actual looters and were the actually breaking the law, that there's justice, that they be put in jail, that it is that we as a society say we will not stand for this. And that is most of what I would like to add to the report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable. I believe our officials are trying to catch the additions, because my understanding is that we need to beef up the recommendations. Based on what Honorable de Villiers has said, as well as Mr. Hendricks, we need to indicate, when I heard you well, you were indicating the issue of security, which should be part of our recommendations, as well as the rapid progress on issues of permit, and on also the issue of dealing with red tapes, which might be a problem to our vendors and our informal traders. So let's try to beef up the report by adding those recommendations, so that it's going to be easier for the department to follow up, because the end of the day is going to be their program of action, and we'll have to monitor that. So I'm just indicating to other honorable members who haven't yet deliberated that please add specifically recommendations which you feel will address the situation. The issue of security, I think, is a priority. I agree with you, Honorable de Villiers. The next speaker.
Mr. Jacobs.
Yeah, Honorable Jacobs, the stage is yours.
Thank you, Chair, and greetings to all the members. I just want to also just thank the portfolio committee, the staff who has done this report. The report is fairly comprehensive, and I reconcile with most of the issues that was raised. I also think that as a portfolio committee with a multi-party representation, we must really commend ourselves for being able to, as South Africans, really work together and collectively challenge and confront and address the hard realities of that this pandemic and also this looting has brought to us. So I want to commend all of the members. I think there's a lot of work that has been put into the report. There's a lot of recommendations coming through, and our new executive, led by our deputy minister here, I'm sure you are listening attentively to some of the challenges and the recommendations that we are making. And it's our sincere wish that we collectively work together to resolve and to ensure the issues that's being raised here is covered. I think the first thing, Chair, is that this report has so much information that we need to share it to a broad stakeholder. When we have the next portfolio committee again, and when it's the chance of the ministry and the department and government to respond to this report, I'm also appealing that we don't only ask government, our national department, but we actually ask all the stakeholders that we have interviewed to be part of that. So let's open the dialogue. Let's get in the retail associations and hear from themselves what are they doing to help and make malls more inclusive. Let's hear self from the mall owners about this triple P partnership that they want to do with township and municipalities. Let's hear self from the informal traders about what they are going to do. So we have described the problems. We have listened, and our report adequately captures all the issues. But I think the next session that we have is as this oversight committee or as this portfolio committee, we must hear, must see what we're doing together as all South Africans. Whether you were a mall owner or you were an informal trader, you are all part of this ecosystem, and we must work together. We must call for justice. We must call for stability. We must call for dealing with the criminality. But we must also call for justice to have a more fairer economic system that takes all of us on board. That the big guys, the big businesses like the hungriest lions can't just take the money out of a township and see that small gogo or that auntie that's making the chicken, she's not getting the business. We need to find a win-win, a and-and solution for all of our businesses. So I think what we picked up, you know, it was an eye-opener for me to go into townships and to see businesses trade and to see the conditions that our people have to work with. Some municipalities are saying that they haven't had infrastructure or support for traders, for lighting, for toilets for a long time. And the informal traders are just survival entrepreneurs. They're just trying to make a meet. So I was very glad that here under your leadership, we actually spoke to everybody. We spoke to the owners of the malls, and we spoke to that small informal traders. So I think for us, we need to ensure that this is an economic reset opportunity. We can't do business as usual. We need to ensure that we take all our communities on board. You can't have townships and malls exclusively. You need to have malls embracing the township and rural economy, because you can't have a fancy mall in a township and people see all the fancy stuff, but there's no accessibility. You don't feel economically part of that process. The locals are not getting the jobs in those malls. The small traders are not getting opportunities to be part of the mall ecosystem. We see there's a big relationship between the informal traders outside the mall and also the mall. So the malls generally take the money out of the townships. And so we need to ensure that we have that circular economy where money stays in our areas, money stays in our economies, and we must find a better way. So, Chair, I want to endorse this report. In conclusion, I want to support this report. I think it has the basis, and we want to commend our team. But I think we need a dialogue, and I'm asking that this portfolio committee help with that dialogue of the recovery plan. We see different pieces. I saw DTI also, in partnership with a bank, also opened up a new lending facility to small business. Private sectors are doing a lot to small business. Everybody's chipping in and contributing. And so I think our role is just to get them all together. And when we have a response to this report, we must try to be as inclusive as possible, Chair. I think we need to build harmonious relationships with all our stakeholders in the economy. The informal traders, the informal foreign nationals, we need to ensure that municipalities don't punish our informal traders. The making it accessible, the licensing, and also DM. I think the one thing that we're all saying is that let's make the application, let's get the money to our people that need it in a very accessible way. So it's difficult for someone in Isipingo to fill in a 10-page form to get a 2,000 Rand DM. So why don't we get some youngsters to go into Isipingo informal area and write up the application, take a photo of the Gogo's infrastructure, get the location of it, and we get a small affidavit, and we do using technology to get the money out to our people. Let our youngsters, let's pay our unemployed graduates to come to our townships. Let them do the service, but let us help. And so there must be war rooms, DM, in all of these areas. The business chamber of Stanger is also not trusting the municipality of Stanger. And so our job is to bring them together to understand that there is a trust deficit. How do what you say my needs are and what you say your needs are, we can find each other? Because the property owners are saying, look, we want a rebate because business is not so good. Municipalities are saying we need that rates because we want to improve the service to our townships. We want to improve the services to our... So everybody's got needs, and we need to find a consensus way of dealing with it. It was an eye-opener for me to go into this area, Chair, and I wish for us as a portfolio, this is definitely not the last. I really want us to go to other districts, because as we highlight the issues, we bring government together, we bring our people together, we bring private sector together, and as South Africans, we can make it work, Chair. So I 100% support this recommendation, but there's still a lot of work to be done. So I want to thank the team. I want to also thank all the political parties. We didn't do politicking. We really came there and we went there and we raised our views sharply, but we all had the best interests of South Africa going forward. So I want to commend everybody and thank you again, Chair, for your leadership.
Thank you, Honorable Jacobs. I believe our administrators are capturing those additional in our recommendations. Indeed, we are bound to have visual meetings with other provinces because we visited these two provinces, but the issue of empowerment and the issue of employment is a problem across the board. So to be able to deal with this issue, the unrest and the looting was an eye-opener, but we need to zoom into the space and to make sure that we come up with some strategies on how best can we be able to create employment, collaborating with other departments, as we have indicated, because this should not be the baby of small business. It should be the baby of us all, including those other departments, our municipality. I was impressed by the presentation by those municipalities. They indicated that indeed they are hard at work, but issues of resources is a problem. So to be able to hear and to listen to each and everyone, we need to have such meetings, such dialogues, including other provinces which we did not touch. Not that where there were no unrest, there are no problems of unemployment. It is there. So ours is to join hands and make sure that we assist each and everyone, assist our society by creating jobs with our departments at large. So I really appreciate the issue of graduates, I think, needs to be considered, that the issue of delays, where you will find out that CEDA will tell you that we are assisting them 40 by 40, but when you listen to the report, there are a lot of people who have lost their jobs. So to be able to speed up the process, let the department with its agencies assist us by creating something in a form of learnership where they will assist those communities, because the problem is the capacity or manpower in those agencies. Secondly, the issue of a non-visibility. So I believe if we can take that route, I agree with you, Honorable Jacobs, it will assist, because what we need to do as the portfolio committee is to make sure that things are happening. Yes, we've got plans, we've got budget, but how do we utilize those budgets? So I happen to agree with you. King, do you still have any other hand? So that I can give the chair to everybody. Yes.
Yes, Chairperson. There's Honorable Mathulelwa.
Okay, Honorable Mathulelwa. Honorable members, I'm still pleading. Come up with some additionals on issues of recommendations, please. That will assist the team. Honorable
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My additional is simple and it's only one, is that I have noticed that they are struggling. These people, may we please request CEDA or CIFA to ease the qualifications, because there are qualifications where they are the similar to the usually thing. So I'm sorry that I'm on my way, but I want to request the forms are not accessible. They've tried people that we visited, more especially if you remember the slave. So the requirements are not favoring them. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member. That's progressive. It's additional. Let's ease the application so that everyone is able to access funds. Thank you, Honorable Mathulelwa. Is there any other hand, Braking?
No, Chair, that was the only hand left.
I will,
not a,
Yeah, I will request the DM. I don't want a report from him, just to comment a bit in on the report so that I can conclude the meeting. Honorable DM.
Very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning to you and all the members of the Portfolio Committee. And thanks for the presentation. We've listened very carefully. That we have indeed received it, and we're thinking about how we're going to go forward. I know that the DG is here. He may want to indicate that in the next few days, we do have a workshop that will deal with some of the issues, and including this presentation on how we should go forward, including the matters of CEDA and SEPA, which has been highlighted in this report, and other areas that have been raised. So I want to thank you and thank the Portfolio Committee for the work that was done and the work that will continue to be done going forward. We will indeed work together harmoniously, but very effectively on the challenges that have got to be dealt with. I thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, DM. Through your permission, I'm using protocol. You know that I can't call the DG before I could talk to you. DG, can you say something as requested by the DM? Mm-hmm. DG Ukona.
Chairperson, it seems as if we left the meetings. Yeah, I can't see him in the platform.
Okay, no problem. But all in all, I would like administrators to assist the Portfolio Committee, because we are to adopt this report, and the way forward, my understanding is that is the Office of the Speaker, which should forward the report to the department. I want you to assist us in terms of rules and orders, because we don't want to violate rules. What is it that should happen from now? DM, Honorable DM, don't worry. We'll have a chat with the department, because we were trying to present this report to ourselves and agree upon it, and that has happened. And from here, we're now taking it as our product, because we will be adopting it. And then moving forward, we'll collaborate with the department. And then we know that the department has been there. There are findings, there are plans which are happening. They would like to hear them from the department formally, so not hijacking you.
Chairperson?
Yes.
On the side of way forward, it's twofold, because this is a report of the Portfolio Committee, and members, they had some additions that they wanted to put in as observations and recommendations. So now it's either we adopt it with those amendments, or we say we go and beef it up and then make another day for the adoption of a report. I don't know, suppose so, Mr. Kumete, no, add on that.
No, you are right, King. Absolutely correct. Members can adopt on the conditions that the amendments will be incorporated into the main document, or if they think otherwise, we can then reschedule for another date. But the trend in the past, members would adopt with amendments.
Yeah, I think the last statement is the correct one, because we're running out of time. We're going to debate about this report in the National Assembly, not long. So if the report...
Yeah.
Not our product yet. So adopt it with its amendment, and then it becomes our product. moving forward. Honorable members, I believe you agree with me. I will now request any honorable member to move for the adoption of the report with its additions. Any mover?
There are two hands. There is a hand from Mr. Jacobs. There's also a hand from Mr. Hendricks.
Okay, Mr. Honorable Jacobs.
Thank you, Chair. I support your suggestion, and I move for the adoption of this report with amendments that was made by the members.
Thank you, Honorable Hendricks.
Great pleasure to second the report.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Members. Thank you for the report, most special from our officials, and thanks for allowing me to lead you. It was a hectic program. It was tight, but I have seen wonders. I've seen all of us being one. We're so caught in the project itself, and each and everyone really indicated that we do care about our society regardless of our political affiliation. I really want to salute you, and let's keep this spirit moving forward. Thank you, DM. You will inform the minister about our meeting, and then we are ready to go and debate. And I believe that all of us were going to debate with one spirit, because our aim is to can see our people being assisted. We want to see things happening. We want change. Thank you so much. They have come to the end of our meeting. The meeting stand adjourned.
Long live the chair!
Chair.
Yes.
Sorry, chair.
Good name.
No, we're supposed to adopt the minutes. I don't know whether we defer them to the next meeting.
Yeah, let's defer them to the next meeting. You know that we honorable members are rushing to Cape Town today. Flights are scarce. So I'm requesting that we adopt them in our next meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you.
Chair. Greetings, members. Okay. Travel safe, please.
Last word. I must have the last word. Long live the chair.
Long live the Portfolio Committee on Small Business. Thank you. Bye.
Chair,
Honorable Hendricks.
Yes, Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt, but, you know, a member of the Select Committee joined us for this trip, Mr. Dango, and it was sad to hear that while he was on the trip.
Oh, thank you, my son. Thank you, my last born. Thank you, my last born. Our condolences to the family. In fact, I send message as an individual, but it's good to do that as a portfolio committee. I believe we'll request our officials to do that on our behalf. But condolences to the Dango family. Thank you, Honorable Hendricks. That's human to do that.
We don't know what happened.
Oh, he lost his wife. Mr. Dango lost his wife. While he became ill and was taken back to the hotel, and then from there he went home, and then maybe after a day or 2 days the wife died. That's what happened. I'm sorry that we could not communicate it formally, but thanks to Mr. Hendricks for reminding us. Once more, our condolences to the Dango family. So we'll request you to write them a letter of condolences to write him on our behalf. Fine?
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Nim. Sibambi.
Not bonk.
Okay, Nibabon. I still here.